Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord, that we could come into Thy presence to worship Thee and to glorify Thee as New Jerusalem Church. We thank You, Lord, that You wait for the time when the children gather together to worship Thee. As we come to Thy presence, Heavenly Father, we pray that Your presence will be manifested, that You would speak from between the two cherubims, Thy word, Father, that will go out from Thy church all over the world. Purify us, wash us by the blood, fill us by the Holy Spirit. Make us Your instruments. We thank You for all Your blessings. And as we wait at Thy feet, Father, Thy word, which shall not return unto Thee void, but shall prosper for which Thou dost sent it. And Thy word which transforms us, through which we are changed from glory unto glory. Pray that You would transform us and our environment and the universe by Thy word. The same word by which You said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we see all around us demons in the flesh, demons in the spirit. We wonder where they all came from. This is the worst time in the history of the world. Well, not really. There's been worse times. The Bible tells us about the days of Noah, how terrible they were. And if we read the first chapter in the book that talks about Noah, we'll be amazed at how wicked the world that then was. And then Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. He didn't say it'll be worse than the days of Noah. He said it'll be just like the days of Noah that existed 5,000 years back. But guess what? While I'm sure they wanted to kill Noah and his family, they wanted to get rid of him, they didn't like his preaching. Noah preached for 120 years. And the Bible tells us, God delivered Noah. There was a man of God I heard was about to be called home. Spent all his life serving the Lord. A mighty preacher. So they went to him and said, "You know, in all your life, what did you learn about God? Tell it to us in one word." He said, "God is faithful." If we translate it into our daily life, our God is our deliverer. God is our deliverer. He goeth before and breaketh all the obstacles and grinds it to powder. He says in the book of Isaiah, "I will make thee a new and sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and grind them to powder." Goliath challenged the children of God. God delivered God's children through David, a little boy. Pharaoh challenged. He wanted to wipe out the Jews. God raised Moses and took them to the promised land. Pharaoh and his host were drowned in the Red Sea. And then Haman wanted to completely destroy the Jews. What happened? God had already planted an Esther in the king's palace. Today we see demons and rats and witches and scorpions and all the powers of darkness and the gates of hell living in a universe of illusion, thinking they can overcome the plan of God and the church of the living God. The interesting thing is, before Satan has a plan, God already has a counter plan. Before God saw that the world was violent, he had already planted a Noah. Before Satan brought Goliath to wipe out the Jews, God had already planted a David. Before Haman had a plan to completely kill and wipe out all the Jews in the kingdom of Persia, God had already planted an Esther. And we go on and on and on in the Bible. God is our deliverer. He delivers us from the most problematic situation. King David, that's why he wrote Psalm 23 focused on God, the deliverer. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Frequently the Lord speaks to us and tells us, "I am with you, I am with you." And he tells it so often that we forget the significance of what that means. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. The wind and the waves were roaring, just like in the USA and all over the world. They are roaring, saying, "We will take over this world. We will create a universal order, a universal law, a cashless society. We'll do this, we'll do that." "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Until the time that is appointed of the Lord comes, no one will be able to take over this planet." Because the spirit of Antichrist was already in the first century. "And he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The Bible says that Satan is now in heavenly places. We read in the book of Ephesians 6 chapter, principalities and powers in high places, in heavenly places. And the Bible says, "He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The word "let" in the ancient English means he who hinders. What Satan does right now is, when the children of God pray, he tries to stop that prayer because he is in the middle, trying to stop that prayer from reaching the throne of God. But when the true powerful children of God pray, it is like a cruise missile, and it goes with fire, and the kingdom of darkness moves away as the prayer goes to the throne of God, where it is offered with incense and fire at the altar of God. And there is lightnings and thunderings and a great earthquake on earth because God speaks. When Jesus spoke and prayed unto God Almighty, God the Father spoke, saying, "I will glorify it, and I will glorify it again." God is allowing all these things, the pandemic, the demons screaming and trembling, the people saying, "We'll wipe out Christianity." He's allowing all that so that the church of the living God will be on our knees and fight on their knees. Because a man of God once said, "Satan trembles when the weakest saint begins to pray." Satan trembles when the weakest saint — there is no such thing as a weak saint — but when we kneel down and pray, the kingdom of darkness, the gates of hell, will begin to tremble. That's why the most important thing in our spiritual life is not evangelism. The most important thing in our spiritual life is not doing signs and wonders. The most important thing in our life is not preaching. The most important thing is kneeling down and praying. Lasha prida storova prashanti mi kaproshantaraba. Roshimra praturaba tiraba kapriantara duruba. Our prayer will shake God's hand, and God's hands will shake the universe. I don't know if it was Queen Victoria or Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of England that reigned over almost the entire world. And she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of England. John Knox went up to into a mountain. He said, Lord, I'm going to die on this mountain, on my knees, unless you bring a revival in Scotland. He prayed, give me Scotland or I die. And he prayed, no food, nothing. He stayed on the mountain. God created a great revival in Scotland. Knoxville, Tennessee was named after the great man of God, John Knox, who lived a few centuries back. This nation was founded upon the blood of the saints, upon the blood of the word of God. No power or weapon of darkness can take over this country, because the Lord established it for his glory and for his evangelism and for his word. They think they can put a witch in the White House. Thus saith the Lord, I will go before my people and I will manifest my power and I will bind and crush the witches. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All the celebrities can come like an army from Hollywood. It ain't Hollywood, it's Hollywood. But again, the word of God says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes we need to consider some of the things that the people who don't worship God are saying. So let us look at one thing that an idol worshiper said about the people of God. Did this idol worshiper, this is man who worshiped demons, who was the king of Persia, did he know more about the people of God than the people of God themselves? We have to ask a question. Daniel 6 chapter verse 16. This is King Darius the Persian. Abraham was called from the land of Ur, near Iraq and Persia, the land of the Chaldees, which stands for the Chaldeans, which are Persians. Daniel 6:16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now the king didn't say to Daniel, you know, I'm going to pray that God will deliver you. I hope he delivers you. No, the king said, the God whom you serve continually, Daniel, he will deliver thee. I'm sure that statement that King Darius, the unbeliever, the ungodly man, the idol worshiper made, resonated throughout all the Persian kingdom. Not only did his words come true, but he issued a proclamation throughout the world that God Almighty, the God of Daniel, is the only one who can deliver. And that everyone all over the world have to worship the God of Daniel. So in this Daniel 6:16, this unbeliever, this ungodly king, this idol worshiper establishes a pattern on how the people of God should live. Daniel knew the king had signed that anyone who worships or asks a petition from any man or God for the next 30 days other than King Darius will be thrown into the den of lions. Daniel knew what is going to happen, but he opened his windows. Well, you know, Daniel, why didn't you close your windows? If they see you praying, they would put you into the den of lions. Why don't you just keep that secret, friend? It's not necessary to do that in public. Just close your windows and worship. No. Daniel wanted to open his windows, challenged the demons. He said, I will openly worship the Lord. Let them see me defying the commandment of the king. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? O king, regardless of whether you throw us in the flaming furnace or not, we really don't care about your golden statue. We will not worship it because the first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have any gods before me. Thou shalt not worship them nor serve them. Thou shalt not have a graven image of anything that is in the heavens above or the earth beneath or under the earth or anything on planet earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. That is the word of Almighty God. We don't care about your commandment, your king. We will not worship you. And the king said, well, I'll throw you into the furnace. Won't you reconsider your decision? Well, king, whether God delivers us from the furnace or not, we really don't care. But we will not disobey the commandment of Almighty God. There's going to be a group that's left out in the rapture that is going to be told, unless you take the mark of the beast, the 666, on your right hand or your forehead, you cannot buy or sell. And they're going to say, we don't care. We're not going to take it. And they will die as martyrs. But right now we are waiting for the rapture, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be raptured into the presence of God as the bride of Christ. One of the servants of God in New Jerusalem Church said, the world was in chaos. He saw the moon approaching the earth, and then the world was on fire. Now, a lot of visions and revelations are not literal. They have a spiritual meaning. So we don't have to be looking at when the Bible does it say the moon is going to come close to the earth. But anyway, just as the world was on fire, the rapture took place. The trumpet of God sounded and the church was gathered into his presence. God always has a deliverance planned for his church. However, he is keeping us on this planet to crush the head of the enemy, because in the Garden of Eden it was said, it shall bruise thy feet, but it, meaning the church of the living God, shall crush its head. The time is coming when the church of the living God is going to crush the head of the enemy. People say, why doesn't God do something? Well, God is not going to do anything. He has planned to do everything through his church. If we read the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, God is in the background. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are in the background. The Father was evident in the Old Testament. The Son of God was evident in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was manifest. And then we have the epistles. Now, this is the age of the church. God, the Blessed Trinity, is now operating through His church. Today in the morning, as we were speaking in tongues, the Lord was interpreting. The wall of Jerusalem shall be built in troublesome times. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, and the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. The spirit of Sanballat and Tobiah will be put to shame. I will send a great revival in U.S. and all over the world, and I will manifest my power. Those who blaspheme me and revile me shall be put to shame. But my children will be exalted. They that trust in me shall never be put to shame. Our God, the Deliverer, says again in Psalm 91, even though the pestilence walketh in darkness, God will protect us. But let's go back to Daniel 6:16 and see what is the king, this idol worshipper, instructing the people of God to do and how to live, because he issued a proclamation after God sent the angel and delivered Daniel and said, this is a God, who only God that can deliver. So this is the way all nations have to live. So the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually. That key word that he says is continually. Daniel did not serve God for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes. He served God 24/7. He was worshiping God. He was reading His word. He was living His word. And that is why Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Here are people saying, we are going to kill David. You chop off his head. I will chop his hands off. Let's mutilate him completely, and then I will come and burn him. David is hearing all this stuff. Those people are only about 20 feet away from him. And what is he doing? He's reading the word of God and saying, brother, look at this word. This is awesome. I have great peace because I love his law. I rejoice at his word as one that findeth great spoil. Nothing is going to happen. They will jump up and down like squirrels and rats. And then guess what? The rat cage is going to snap and they're going to be trapped. It has always happened. They came against the children of God, nothing new. They came as the sand of the seashore for multitude. What happened? They fought with each other and killed each other. And before even Israel could fight, blood was running knee deep. Jesus in the boat, sleeping. And then he wakes up and says, peace be still. So the word that we learn today from what King Darius said is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Our duty is to worship the Lord, is to praise Him, is to glorify Him, enjoy. You know, this 21st century, the greatest thing we have is audio Bibles, audio songs. It is so easy to be in the Spirit. It is so easy to worship God. Because we can turn it on and be in the presence of God all day worshiping Him. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee. That's why Psalms 27:4, King David says, a man whom God said is a man after my heart. Why was David a man after God's heart? Because he slew Goliath. No. He did many mighty things. But the reason God loved David is because he focused on one thing. What was that one thing? Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Ezra and Nehemiah. Amen. Hallelujah. Go on to say, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. There were many people who were miraculously saved and delivered by God when 911 struck. They said there was no oxygen because the fire had consumed the building. There was no place to walk. And yet they felt as if there was a bubble around them. And they went down and got out of the building. People were amazed. How did that happen? We are living in God's bubble. We are not subject to the wrath of the enemy. The demons and rats have no power and authority over us. We are in the presence of Almighty God. And our duty is to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Praise him, glorify him, magnify him, enjoy. Yeah, people might say, oh yeah, we are going to do this, we are going to do that, chop your head off. Just rejoice in the Lord and his might. Remember the thing that the devil told this man of God? The devil looked really scary. And all his army looked so powerful. And the man said, man, I didn't think the devil was so terrible to look at. And the devil said, well, yeah, really, you know, man of God, I cannot do anything against you. He said, really? You look so strong and powerful. And the devil said, look up. And when he looked up, he saw God seated on the throne with the cherubims and seraphims crying, holy, holy, holy. And the army of heaven followed him. And they were like a cloud above this man of God. Such is the army. Millions of demons and rats and snakes and scorpions and serpents and powers of darkness and bats and witches and celebrities from Hollywood and the New World Order and a million antichrists and all the armies of the world can come against us. But one angel with his little finger in the army of God can completely wipe them all out. So what exactly do we need to do? We need to pray for these people's salvation. Because it is not them, but it's the demons that have possessed them, whom they have let possess them. And that's why in Habakkuk 3:18 and 19, the Bible says, though the fig tree do not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, there be no herd in the flock, and everything be cut off. So what is our duty? Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Yeah, just laugh at them. They scream and yell saying, we are Democrats. They are dreaming about winning the election, taking away guns, and putting all the people of God in jail. High hopes. Keep dreaming. Even if you become the king of this world, you have no power or authority against the church of the living God. We can pray and God will hear our prayer. I remember once in India, we went into a village to preach. suddenly about 200, 300 Hindus came to attack us. And as you were preaching the gospel, they said, stop preaching the name of Jesus and raise your hands and say, praise be to Mother India. What? Praise be to Mother India. Why do we have to praise Mother India? She ain't our mother. Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother India or Mother Nature. There's only one person, and that is Father God Almighty. There's no father in Rome. There's no father in Vatican. There's only one father, that is Father God, who made us in his own image. And so what did the pastor do? That pastor had just got converted from Hinduism 3 months back. They had put him in jail. And the superintendent of police released him because he said, if I keep him in jail for more than a few more days, I might end up becoming a Christian. And so the pastor said, everybody, church, New Jerusalem Church, shout out saying, glory, praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we started speaking in tongues and praising and glorifying God. And they rushed towards us to attack us and kill us. So, amen. God said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If God has chosen us to die as martyrs, so be it. We are willing to give our life for Jesus, but until the time that God has purposed for us to do his will, nobody can touch us. Nobody can prevent us from completing the mission that God has for us. And so, guess what happened? Those 200 people lunged towards us and wanted to kill us. But with the same force with which they lunged forward, they went backward. We remembered the angel of the Lord encampeth round about us and delivereth them. They were so mad that they fell backward, that they grabbed my glasses and crushed it. I said, have fun crushing those glasses. And put all your anger upon the glasses. And they took that to the optical shop and they fixed it the next day. So they told us to go away from the city and not come back because they saw the strange power. So the reason I'm saying this is God is in his tabernacle. God is in his church. And he very clearly said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Church of the Living God. In that same city, now New Jerusalem Church has Bible study, and many people have come to the Lord. In another place, they said, you cannot come to this village. And no evangelist or pastor was allowed into that village. So guess what? The pastor said, okay, the Bible does say, wipe the dust off your feet. But God told us to come and preach to you guys. They said, no, you cannot preach. We don't worship that God. We worship all these bricks and stones and cows and snakes. And so the pastor said, okay, let's ask the Lord. We have to dust our shoes. We'll dust it and move forward. And they prayed and said, Lord Jesus, you told us to go into the city and preach, but they don't want us to preach. And guess what? Suddenly the pastor and the entire New Jerusalem Church were inside the village. They don't know how it happened. It happened. And the people were said, wow, many people came and we stopped them. And these people prayed and now they're inside the village and we are outside. How did that happen? Well, they heard the word of the Lord that day. There is a strange thing about being a single person and being the church of the living God. It is a kingdom. It is an army. It is the people of God. We are here not to be killing people, but to be restoring lives, to restoring broken hearts back to the image of Jesus Christ, to save people, to bring them to the throne of God, to reconcile them with God. If they attack us, that's fine. When they get really close, they'll see electricity. But we will keep sharing the love of Jesus to everyone, however wicked they are. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth them from all sins. We will love them. We won't hate them. We will pray for them. All these celebrities from Hollywood and the demons and the rats, we will pray for them and lead them to Christ and drive the demons out of them. Because our God is superior to all the powers of darkness. And that is why the Bible says our duty as the enemy rises up like an ocean against the people of God. Our duty, Hebrews 13:15, is to do the same thing that Noah did. What did Noah do? Well, it wasn't raining when he started building the ark. He kept on building the ark. He kept on building the ark. They mocked him. They laughed at him, saying, oh my goodness. He's saying that he's the only person who's going to get saved, and there's only like a handful of them. And he's building this boat in the subdivision, doesn't have a permit. The government told him he can't build. The king told him he can't build. He's rejecting all that. He keeps on building. Well, I think he's lost his mind. We'll just laugh at him. They laughed at him for 120 years. They laughed until the flood came and wiped them all out. But Noah and his family were saved. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They didn't care until Noah entered the ark. The rapture is going to take place. God is being very patient. His name is being blasphemed. But as the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, my name shall be glorified and exalted from the rising of the sun, even to the setting thereof. So our duty is, when all these armies of the enemy come against us, we follow Hebrews 13:15. By Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. In the Old Testament, when people came against the prophets, they called fire from heaven. So the disciples said, this city didn't allow us to preach the gospel. Can we do fire, bring fire from heaven too? Jesus said, no. I didn't come to destroy the world. I came to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. But when they try to attack us and kill us, if that time God has not destined us to be martyrs, then they need to read Joel 2, because it clearly says what happens to those who attack the army of God. So I heard about this man of God who went to South America. And a big gang came to attack him and kill him. He was there to preach. And suddenly he saw some white figures, very muscular angels. They came, got hold of these 15 people, these thugs, these thieves, and threw them everywhere. And they were fractured. So the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. If we have to suffer for Christ, if we have to be martyred, that's fine. But if not, nobody can touch us, because Jesus said, not a hair shall fall from your ground. We have had death threats from Muslims. We have death threats from all kinds of people. We just need to keep building the ark. We just need to keep preaching the word of God. We just need to keep praising God. The Bible says in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. They say, let's go against God and his anointed and wipe them out. He that sit in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. God spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, to zero. I didn't say Republicans are going to win the election or Democrats are going to win the election. I really don't care. Jesus Christ is going to get exalted. And upon this rock, he has built his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The church survived in the Persian Empire and overcame. The church survived in the Babylonian Empire and overcame. The church survived when they were encircled by the entire world and overcame. The church survived the Grecian and the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire fell. Why? Because this stone, the church of the living God, that comes out of the mountain, will crush all kingdoms, including the revived Roman Empire. The empire of the Antichrist will be crushed. Jesus said about his church, if anyone fall on this rock, he shall be broken. But if this rock fall on anyone, it shall grind him to powder. No one can stop the church of the living God, the people of God, from moving forward and turning this world and those kingdoms of this world back to God. We have been reinstated. We have been called as New Jerusalem Church to build his church and to preach his word and to grab the souls from the jaws of the enemy and fulfill the purpose for which the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, was shed on Calvary, and the reason for which the Holy Spirit is given. I asked God, how do we do that? He said, by my word shall not return unto me void. It is the same word that said, let there be light, and there shall be light. It is not through signs and wonders. It is not through miracles. It is not through anything else. It is through the word. We pray, we get empowered with the power of God, and God speaks through us, and the word will transform this planet Earth. As we get transformed through the word, the glory of God will radiate through us. That is why Jesus said, from your belly shall flow the rivers of living water. When New Jerusalem Church pastor was surrounded by hundreds of people that came to kill him, he instead preached the word and they all heard his word. We focus on the word. The devil trembles at the word. All the witches tremble at the word of Almighty God. It is the word of Almighty God. It's the most powerful thing in the universe. Nothing can stand against the Holy Bible. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.